720 WGN, John Hanson here on Chicago's Afternoon News, and for Steve Bertrand here at 439. Didn't even realize that this show's first hour had a theme to it, but I'm just discovering now that it does. In the first half hour, we talked about signers of the Declaration of Independence that you may have never heard of. I think a lot of people have heard of this baseball player, but plenty more should. And here to chat about him and all of his accomplishment is Luke Eplin, who is the author of the epic story of Four Men and the World Series that changed baseball. And Luke, I also appreciate that the day we have you on the show, you have an op-ed in the Washington Post. Thanks for timing that together for us.
Oh, it certainly was planned. Thank you.
The name is Larry Doby, who on this date in 1947 broke the color barrier in the American League right here in Chicago in a game for the Cleveland Indians versus the White Sox. Larry played for Cleveland, of course. And Luke, before we get into more about that team and his legacy, I wanted you to just talk about the 24 hours that Larry Doby went through between July the 4th, 1947, and July the 5th, 1947.
Yeah, Larry Doby played on a Negro League team called the Newark Eagles. They had won the Negro League World Series championship in 1946. He came back in 1947 and was just tearing up the league, was leading the league in home runs, had a tremendous batting average that was approaching 400. He attracted the attention of the Indians, particularly their owner, Bill Veeck, who decided not to send Larry Doby down to the minor leagues as Jackie Robinson had been before he desegregated the Dodgers, but to put him right onto the Indians. And so on July 4th of 1947, Larry Doby played a game for the Newark Eagles where he had a home run. He rushed through a shower, went to Newark Penn Station, took an overnight train from Newark Penn Station to Chicago, and within 24 hours, he journeyed overnight from the Negro Leagues to the Major Leagues. That next afternoon, he suited up for the Cleveland Indians.
How many weeks after Jackie Robinson's debut does Larry Doby break the color barrier in the American League?
Jackie Robinson debuted on April 15th, 1947, Doby on July 5th, 1947. So it's about 11 weeks. So it's not that much of a difference. And Jackie Robinson desegregated the National League. Larry Doby is in the American League at a time whenever those teams did not play each other except for in the World Series. So really, he was the pioneer in the American League.
What was that day, as much of it as we know, like at Comiskey Park? Do we have any stories about what the day was, how he batted, how he did, what the fans' reaction was?
Larry Doby had come, Larry Doby himself had not learned about the fact that he was going to be the first black player in the American League until about 2 days before it happened. So he was still kind of in a state of shock. He hadn't really wrapped his mind around it. He comes into the Indians clubhouse. Nobody on the Indians knows who he is. He doesn't really know who hardly any of them are.
Wow.
They line up to shake his hand, and several players on the Indians refuse to do so. The word is leaked out across Chicago that Larry Doby is going to desegregate the American League, so tons of black fans have sort of flooded into Comiskey Park to witness this historic event. When Doby comes onto the field for warm-ups, they give him a very warm ovation. But then Doby's teammates pair up to throw balls to each other to sort of warm up, and nobody wants to do so with him. So
wow.
Doby is standing there all alone in the middle of Comiskey Park, and it's a sort of hurt feeling that he would reference time and time again throughout his life. He only gets up once as a pinch hitter, and he would say later that he didn't even realize what was going on. It was as though he was in a dream. You know, the day before he was in the Negro Leagues, and now here he is stepping to the plate on the Indians. He would also tell a writer that the first several times he came up to the bat in the Major Leagues, he was so nervous he could not stop his teeth from chattering. And so he does end up striking out in his only at bat that day, and he really is kind of in almost like a dreamlike fog at
yeah.
that time.
I find it interesting the two storylines, and you detail this so well in today's column, the Washington Post, or the op-ed. I knew that Jackie Robinson went off to a roaring start, of course. Won Rookie of the Year, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
But Larry Doby, that strikeout was unfortunately a harbinger of his 47 season from July till the end of it, right?
Yeah, so he is a second baseman in the Negro Leagues, and the Indians infield at this time in 1947 is completely stocked. You've got Hall of Famers at second and shortstop, and Joe Gordon and Lou Boudreaux, and then you have sort of great player at third base named Ken Keltner. It was only really at first base that they thought Larry Doby could try out. There is a player there named Eddie Robinson who was a rookie, and whenever Lou Boudreaux, the manager and also the shortstop, he was a player manager, told Eddie Robinson the next day after Doby signs on the Indians that he wants to try Doby out at first base, Eddie Robinson quits the team.
Jeez.
And says, I do not want this to happen, because not only he is from Texas, and so there was probably some racial stuff going on there, but also he was fighting to preserve his spot in the league, and then suddenly a player from the Negro League comes onto the team, and he's just like, well, I'm just going to quit then. And so basically that is the only game that Larry Doby starts the entire 1947 season. I think Indians executives can see that if they sort of slotted him into the lineup, it could cause further unrest among the Indians' teammates. And so Doby really only comes to bat a handful of times in 1947, and by the end of the season, he's really kind of considered to be a failure, as opposed to Jackie Robinson, who really excels that first year.
Which I imagine does not help. Not that Jackie Robinson had it easy because he was good, but that certainly has a way of winning people over.
Yeah, so a lot of people thought that, or a lot of sort of white executives and teammates thought that Larry Doby, quote-unquote, skipped the line, that he did not go to the minor leagues to sort of get the training that he would need to make it to the majors. And they said, well, we had to go to the minor leagues. We had to work our way up through the system. How does this guy come right on to the Indians? And Jackie Robinson himself, when he was signed by the Dodgers, got sent to the minor leagues for an entire season. So he had a year of transition before he went from the Negro Leagues to the major leagues. He could sort of work out a lot of stuff in the minor leagues and get used to an all-white dugout and what that would entail. Larry Doby does not. And so it harbored a lot of resentment among players like Eddie Robinson, who said, well, I don't want to sacrifice my playing time to somebody who has not, quote-unquote, put in his dues.
He hits under 200 in those limited plate appearances in his first year in 1947. He does end up in the Hall of Fame, and Luke Eplin will tell us how after this on WGN. Larry Doby on this date in Chicago breaks the color barrier for the American League. He struggles through the 1947 season. The 1948 Indians, I think a lot of Cubs fans know, was the team that had the longest drought besides the Cubs when they met in 2016. Of course, the Cubs won. The drought continues for the Indians since that 1948 World Series. And Luke Eplin, who wrote the epic story of four men and the World Series that changed baseball, Larry Doby was a huge part of that 48 team. He obviously turned it around.
He was. Whenever he came into spring training in 1948, he was not expected to make the team. A lot of people thought he was going to get sent out to the minor leagues to get, you know, the sort of seasoning that they thought he needed in 1947. But he comes onto the team in 1948 in Arizona, where the Indians were, and just completely sets the baseball world on fire. It's a complete turnaround from where he was the last year. He gains the confidence that he had in the Negro Leagues. He's starting to hitting the ball like he used to, and he has to learn a completely new position. He goes from second base to the outfield, and he learns the outfield on the fly. And it's really an extraordinary story how he manages to not only learn an entirely new position, but become sort of the spark plug of the Indians that year.
What's his reception like in 1948 from Cleveland fans and when he goes on the road?
Well, whenever he's in Cleveland at the beginning of the year, he is making a lot of errors because, as I said, he'd never played in the outfield before. And he's also, you know, has ups and downs. Some days he'll hit these tremendous home runs, and then other days he strikes out five times in a row. And so the Indians fans kind of alternate between sort of cheering him and giving him encouragement and booing him and saying, well, why is he even on the team? When he's on the road, it's an entirely different story. Some of the problems that Larry Doby had to deal with was he couldn't room with a white teammate at that time. It wasn't the custom. And in some places, he couldn't even stay in the same hotel as his teammates. He's being shunted off to segregated accommodations. He often has to find sort of his own transportation to get to the stadium. He's dealing with a lot of sort of loneliness and isolation and things like that. And on top of that, a lot of fans are sort of hurling racial slurs at him at every point. And so the sort of mental toll that he has has to take during that season and withstand is truly extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, but it's not like overnight. Boy, I mean, we're still dealing with issues like this today. Of course, overnight, the second guy doesn't just get a free pass. Like, some fans, I imagine, had vitriol towards him.
And some people say that Larry Doby might have even had it harder because Jackie Robinson was the first. He was playing in New York City where a lot of the media was concentrated. And so anything that happened to him was going to be sort of a major story. And in some ways that might have insulated him. Whereas Doby, as I said, did not do well in 1947. So the media kind of dissipated a little bit. He's out there in Cleveland. And so all the things that he's having to deal with in terms of sort of a racial abuse and prejudice and things like that are not being reported. And so he's doing this a little bit more under the radar, but it's equally as bad.
He has a stellar career after that. He ends up in the Hall of Fame. When I was researching him a little bit, I had no idea that he managed the White Sox for a little bit.
It's quite an extraordinary coincidence. Bill Veeck, who is the owner, and by the way, someone from Chicago, grew up in Chicago. His dad was the president of the Chicago Cubs for a while. Bill Veeck brings Larry Doby onto the Cleveland Indians to be the second black player in Major League Baseball. When Bill Veeck buys the White Sox the second time in the 1970s, he brings on Larry Doby as the manager to be the second black manager in Major League Baseball. So Veeck and Doby are linked in those two capacities in terms of being pioneers.
He lived baseball and eventually ended up in the executive office of the American League, probably one of the few people, really, to go from player to manager to executive in the league.
Yeah, he's had kind of an extraordinary narrative because there was a sense after 1948 when Larry Doby helped the Indians win the World Series. He leads the Indians in batting average in 1948 in the World Series. He hits a crucial home run in Game 4 that helps the Indians win. It's very clear that the Indians would not have been anywhere near the World Series were it not for Larry Doby. So there's this sort of idea that after that, he's 24 years old, he's going to be this tremendous star. But he goes through ups and downs in his career. He is somebody who is very sensitive. He's somebody who did get sort of distracted by a lot of the abuse that he had to go under. And there was this idea that he did not live up to the potential that they saw in Larry Doby early in his career. But now, as we've gotten sort of decades away from it, people are sort of better able to put it in perspective and say, wait a minute, it's extraordinary what he managed to do under those not even suboptimal, those terrible conditions that he had to live through as a pioneer. And so we should be celebrating that. I mean, it took until the 90s until he got into the Hall of Fame. That is about 30 years after Jackie Robinson did. And so he's only now getting the due that he should have had all along.
We should also mention he spent 2 years in the Navy, including time here at the Great Lakes Naval Training School. But like so many men his age in the 40s, he ended up serving in the Pacific Theater of World War II. Obviously, this was all before that happened in 43 and 44. Just wanted to mention that. Do we need a Larry Doby Day?
Oh, yes, we absolutely do. I think for several reasons. One, to give him the due that he is rightfully owed as the first black player in the American League. But two, I think the fact that we focus so heavily on Jackie Robinson, where the players wear his jersey number, where we really, you know, celebrate him, and all of this is rightful, and we should be doing that. But by focusing so much on one player, we are sort of eclipsing the other players that came after Jackie Robinson, who had to deal with similar sorts of issues and, you know, had to desegregate not only their teams, but entire leagues. And so by having Larry Doby Day, it's a way to sort of tell a richer narrative about integration that was happening at that time.
You should follow Luke Eplin on Twitter, at Luke, L-U-K-E, Eplin, E-P-P-L-I-N. You retweeted someone else's tweet showing the original contract from 1947. And obviously the Twitter person there obviously said buy the book. Any last things that you think that we should know just as one hook to make sure people go ahead and purchase the book that you wrote?
Well, I would say that the book not only is about Larry Doby, but it's about Satchel Paige. It's got Bill Veeck in there and also the great Cleveland pitcher Bob Feller. So it kind of tells the integration story through those four individuals. And even if you're not a baseball fan, I think that like the sort of excitement of that season and just the the drama that happens around World War II and immediately thereafter, it makes for quite a narrative.
When I was at covering the World Series, sort of, for the TV show I worked for at the time, and I was out in Cleveland, but we weren't in the stadium. I was covering it from a bar across the street, and Game 7, it was the war of attrition between the Cubs and the Indians to see who would do. Are you an Indians fan? Sorry, Luke, if I'm...
No, I'm not. No.
Okay, okay. Well, anyways, I just want to say that they were the nicest fans I have ever dealt with. We were sitting in that bar having, you know, back and forth on who was going to win or lose that game, and they were the kindest fans ever, considering they had just lost Game 7 of the World Series. They still haven't won since that year in 1948. Luke, I really appreciate your time today. This was an enlightening interview. I think that there's a lot of people like me that know baseball, that love baseball, that don't know Larry Doby.
Well, this was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. I appreciate it.